Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayefsky. Very interesting parsha, and we bridge a huge amount of time. We have a tremendous time lapse in this parsha. The parsha begins with Zoschutas HaTorah. Of course, at the beginning, why does it say Zoschutas HaTorah if the topic is the Parah Aduma? But that is to tell us that even though we know some of the laws, at least we think we do, we know some of the laws, why they have been instituted and why God chose these to be rules in the Torah from the 613 mitzvot. But the same way the Parah Aduma is inexplicable, the way it works and the whole process of the Parah Aduma seems to be, not to say nonsensical, but we just don't understand. We don't have the capability to understand except for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the point is that all the laws of the Torah, as much as we think we understand, we don't really understand it, because just like the Parah Aduma is not explainable in common sense, so Zoschutas HaTorah, all the laws of the Torah, as much as we think we understand, we don't really understand. But what I made a point of saying that tonight's shiur is, in terms of what I entitled it, is inspiration, and we will see that shortly. But getting on to that point, where we get to that point, is as follows. We see a changing of the guard. And what I mean by that is, as well, as we notice, it says Moshe to tell Elazar HaKohen. Why isn't he instructing Aaron to do this? And this is all part of the whole idea of the changing of the guard as well. We see in this parsha, well, it starts off in year number 2, and suddenly midstream, in the middle of the parsha, we end up to have in the middle of year number 40, and it changes drastically. And that is the reason why the Parah Aduma, because even though it seems to be at this point in time on the calendar, but nevertheless, Moshe made the first Parah Aduma, and there would be no need for another Parah Aduma in the life of Aaron, and therefore the instructions for the next Parah Aduma is given to Elazar HaKohen. Not to say that Aaron is being passed over, but nevertheless, the future of the usage of the Parah Aduma will be totally in the hands of Elazar HaKohen. We won't need it until that point, because Moshe himself made the first Parah Aduma right away when God gave them the Torah, so that they would have the ability to become pure, especially after all the wars and all the various tragedies that we've had in the last few parshas that we had. Which brings us to the next issue at hand, and that is a simple fact is that it seems that everything is happening back to back, one tragedy after another, from Vayihi Ha'am Kemisonanim to the Meraglim to Korach, and now in this week's parsha we have the hitting of the rock. But nevertheless, of course, we know ki elav shonim b'einecho ki yom esrol. There's no time in terms of the eyes of God. He sees the entire existence of the world. It's flashing before his eyes. He knows everything. And even in the eyes of Moshe himself, since he's experienced a few months of his life, 3 times, 40 days and 40 nights, he lived on Har Sinai. He lived in the presence of God. He understood and began to change his mental order in his own mind. He began to see things differently as well, which brings us to the whole idea of what we're talking about. God gives Moshe and Aaron, it says, V'dibartem el ha'sela. We can't get over the fact that when it says V'dibartem, the language is plural. He's telling Moshe and Aaron, which is why Aaron was punished as well for Moshe hitting the rock a second time, because Aaron was also instructed about hitting the rock, and he should have stopped Moshe after he hit it the first time, and that's why Aaron was punished as well. What we've said in the previous times is that even though Moshe and Aaron were destined to die in the Midbar for their previous sins, God gave them a second chance. And what was their second chance over here was, since Aaron was involved in the Egel and Moshe was involved in the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, he gave them the impetus to Hamatu Imrav. We said all these things previously, and now he put ideas into their head, and therefore God didn't tell him to do that. In other words, Shlach Lecha LaHanoscha, God gave him the ability to talk on his own. It doesn't say Vaydaber Hashem or Moshe Lemar. Moshe on his own told the Meraglim what to do, and therefore he is punished for the instructions he gave them. But now God tells them, V'dibartem el ha'sela, li'enehem v'nosan me'mav, in all they have experienced the fact when in B'shalach it says, V'kisa batzura, the first time when Israel complained for water, God told Moshe to hit the rock, and now Moshe did not misunderstand the direction from God to not hit the rock this time. He said, take the stick and speak to the rock. Moshe, when he found that they were complaining for water, of course, as we said before, that the first thing, what really made him angry at this point, well, there are other factors involved, but one of the points that we've mentioned previously is that they should have, at least now that Miriam died and that's why the water stopped, at least they should have said, we're sorry for your loss of Miriam. You lost your older sister, and it's a great loss to you. You should have come to be Menachem Avel, and instead you complained to me for water. How about saying that you're sorry for the loss of my sister, which is a very interesting point. But nevertheless, Moshe, as a leader, his job was to inspire the people. And what was lost on Moshe, since he sees things in a whole different light, he saw all the tragedies that we had, as I mentioned at the beginning, when they complained about various topics that we're not exactly sure of, but the Slav and the various diets that they had, and the Meraglim, then Korach, and all those previous things. He was influenced by their previous complaints. And even though this is where Moshe's mistake was, when he gets angry at them and says, Shimu Noha Morim, one would think that this is the next week and it's another tragedy, another complaint, the same as previously. But the reality is there is a lapse here of 37 and a half years at this point to 38 years. The things have been quiet. They have been moving around very slowly, but nevertheless, they have been moving along and they've been dying out in the Midbar. And what Moshe is dealing with is an entirely new generation of people. And it was lost on Moshe at this point in time. He should not have said Shimu no Hamorim for the simple reason these were the children of the Morim. In other words, this was a new generation. And what God tried to establish was the fact that the original generation, the people who left Eretz Mitzrayim and are now going into the land of Israel, had to die in the Midbar because they were brought up in a slave mentality. But these Jews, the ones who were about to enter Eretz Israel, the people who were from 20 years and up after the Maase of Meraglim, were now a new generation with being born in freedom, living in freedom for the last 38 years of their lives, and had a different attitude. And when they complained for the water at this point in time, one would obviously notice that it wasn't the same way that it was previously, because even God doesn't chastise Moshe for them complaining to tell them to rein them in and that they shouldn't complain and let them be thankful for everything that he's given them till now, because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that this is a new generation and God wants Moshe to inspire them to go into the land, because these are the people who will eventually go into the land this year. In fact, in the 40th year, they are getting ready. It's only months away, the entrance into the land. And Moshe is treating them as if they were the previous generation of people. And therefore, when he's talking to them and says, Shimu no Hamorim, listen, you rebellious people, these are not the same people he was talking about who built the Egel and did nothing, who complained in Korach, who were the spies, who were dissatisfied. These are not the same generation of people. These were the new people who had been marching and have not broken ranks. And one might wonder why they haven't broken ranks, which we'll get to that, why. Who is the source of inspiration that causes them not even to break ranks? You would think that a lot of people, if at this point in time, after the 40 years that they're marching in Midbar all this time, and they're watching all their fellow brethren perish in the Midbar in these 40 years, as God told them they would, and as Moshe told them, that some would pack up their bags and say, we've had enough. this is enough. And since they've been marching around, they got to know the terrain, and maybe they want to leave and go elsewhere, and maybe leave to go to Midian or Moab or go someplace else and just be on their own. As we see, the Jews around the world today are spread all over. We are never satisfied. We move from one land in the Middle Ages. We see that the Jews, every time they were kicked out of one land, they moved to another country, from England to France to Spain to whether it's Portugal, and from one country to another to various parts of North Africa and all throughout the Middle East. We're never satisfied. We move from one place to the next. And why did they remain intact to go to the land of Israel, the promised land, which is what we're all looking to? But the fact is, there is one thing over here. When Moshe says Shemunah HaMorim, he lost touch with the common folk at this point in time, and they lost touch with Moshe, he and Aaron as well. They didn't stop because they were still in their mindset. They were dealing with the old people who had perished, or most all of them had already perished in the Midbar. Obviously, there were very few left from that, and this is the brand new generation, and was Moshe's job to inspire them. But the fact is, when we get down to brass tacks, what is the whole idea of why they didn't break ranks, and who actually was the inspiration of all of these things that they remained intact and marched in order to save them? And this goes all the way back to Yosef HaTzadik. And what we're going to see is something very interesting. As we've mentioned before, Yosef was the one who said, I want you to take my bones, carry my bones in the Midbar, carry my remnants of whatever I have left in the Aron that Moshe had to go find. Moshe took it, and Bnei Yisrael were made a promise to Yosef that they would take his bones with him. And what is the inference of the word Mizeh Etchem? That don't go to Eretz Yisrael, and then when you go to the Eretz Yisrael, when you finally get there, you will be wont to possibly come back at that point in time. Once you get to the land of Israel, why should we travel? You know, when you go shopping, you put things in the car, and then you go back for the next. You don't want to carry around the whole load with you the whole time. And possibly the thought process is, you know, once we get into the land of Israel, we'll come back and get Yosef's bones and take them and bury them in Eretz Yisrael. But the reality is, Yosef understood one thing, and Yosef was not a Navi, but he understood what he went through in his life with his brothers, and he was always able to see the future. When the brothers came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef was able to understand that this was all, everything is the hand of God. His whole life was governed by the hand of God. He understood that his whole trip and the tragedy that he experienced, the 22 years that he lived in Mitzrayim without his whole family and rising to the kingdom there, that it was all Allah Achios Lochem Amrav, that this was God's plan for them to be in Mitzrayim. Only Yosef understood the full import of what happened to him. But more so than that, he said to Bnei Yisrael, V'hali semis atzmosai mizeh itchem. What was the inspiration for them to not break ranks and go and follow and take his bones to the land of Eretz Yisrael? Was the fact that they were carrying Yosef's bones. Yosef understood that if they will fulfill their promise to carry his bones, they looked around and said, look at that, we are carrying the bones of Yosef. Yosef, we made a promise to him. We will, at some point in time, we have to fulfill our mission. The people who are the Shvatim, who, as we see in a few weeks when we get to Parshas Pinchas, the Gemara asks, where are certain families that we've taken in the census in Bamidbar and Naso that are no longer with us? The entire 8 families are gone because when they left Mitzrayim 30 years early, they did not take Aronu Shel Yosef. Yosef understood that if they'll be carrying his bones in the Midbar, they will finish the job. For Kod Yifkod Elokim Eschem, V'halisem Es Atzmosai, if you will have, they will look around, and every time they feel like perhaps they would want to break ranks and go their separate ways, they have a mission to accomplish and realize to wake up every morning and say, look at that. Yosef was so concerned about going to the land of Israel. He was willing. He wanted to make sure that even after death, his bones would be buried there, which tells us why, obviously, we have so many people who, after they pass away in our lifetime, we see they want to at least be buried. Where does that all come from? This is Yosef HaTzadik. Yaakov understood that. He imparted that desire. Yosef couldn't leave immediately upon his death because he was the viceroy. But nevertheless, he said, when you leave and you will have the capability, carry my bones with you. It was necessary for them to carry the bones of Yosef. Yosef was able to inspire for 40 years, for the whole 210 years they were in Egypt, and for the 40 years after that in the Midbar, the fact that they were carrying Yosef's bones, and he was able to foresee that. As long as they're carrying his Aron, they will eventually get to the land of Israel. And that is what the message from Yosef was. Yosef understood the need for inspiration, and that's why when we get to Parshas Pinchas, after God has already told Moshe, Yan lo emantem bi lahagdisheni, since you have faltered and you didn't inspire them to go into the land of Israel, and you said Shimuno Hamorim, Vitzaves Yoshua, Vichazkeu v'yamitzeu, what I'm leaving you is, he doesn't just say to tell Yoshua that you are going to be the next leader and it's down to you to take them into the land. It says God is telling Moshe, Vitzaves Yoshua v'chazkeu v'yamitzeu, to inspire Yoshua to be the next leader. You need the inspiration. And Moshe, at this point in time, when he uttered the phrase Shimuno Hamorim, he on some level was lacking. He lost that inspiration that he had when he took the Jews out of Mitzrayim and they crossed the Yam Suf, which was the height of their inspiration. It began to erode after all their missteps. He lost sight of the fact that this was a new generation he was speaking to. Our leaders must always think. Sometimes we have leaders who have been around for 40 years and 50 years, and they've been taught their life experience, but it's always inspirational when they're talking to a new generation. We always have to remember that these are not the same people they've spoken to before, that we have new people to talk to, and we don't bring along the old news with you at that point in time. That's a very important fact. Moshe lost that fact, was lost on him, and he was told to inspire Yoshua the way Moshe was inspired initially to take them out. When Moshe said, Lo ish devar manochi, not that he was a stutterer, but he said, I'm not a man of words, I am a doer. He wants him to inspire Yoshua to be a doer the same way Moshe was at the beginning. Yosef HaTzadik never lost it. Even in death, he understood the need for inspiration. He inspired his brothers. He inspired his people for all the years until even when he died, even after death, he understood the need to continually, even after he was dead, to inspire them, to make sure that they carried his bones along for 40 years in the Midbar so that they would always look around and realize that if Yosef, even 30 and 40 years after his death, was pleading to make sure that he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, so we must be the same way. If we are alive and we have made it, we should do it. And this was Moshe's era. And the lesson is that even though Vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef, it was lost on him at the very end. But nevertheless, Yosef drove the Bnei Yisrael to the land of Israel, which is why Yosef, in fact, in the end, gets the Pishnayim, that he gets the double portion as the Bechor, because of Yosef, that we were able to go in as a unified nation into the land of Israel. Thank you very much, and have a good week.